The Helsinki summit, trade negotiations, Russians. Let's bring in Richard Kahn. He is managing partner of Eurasia Advisors, formerly serving as an advisor to major Russian companies for initial public offerings, also sourcing financing for Russian real estate development, a fluent Russian speaker. So he has a background in understanding exactly the relationship between the United States and Russia on a business level, as well as politics. Richard, thank you very much for coming into this studio. What can you tell us, based on your experience, about the Russian reaction to the Helsinki summit?
I think from the Russian perspective, they are truly thrilled. They witnessed our goalie continually kicking the ball into his own goal. And I think at some point they're probably concerned that people on the team are going to wonder whose side he's on. But from their perspective, this has been a major propaganda victory for Putin himself. He's cemented control in Russia. Nobody there can possibly take him on at this stage. He has a free hand to go after the opposition. But more importantly, they see the weakness of the U.S. They see that what Trump has done is put us at odds with our allies, has shown he's not going to stand up for our values. All of that is a huge win for Russia as they try to assert greater leadership in the Middle East and in the world generally.
So President Trump has said repeatedly it's good for the U.S. to have a constructive relationship with Russia. We're the two biggest nuclear superpowers. We don't want war. Was anything achieved that was positive for the U.S. in this summit?
Well, first of all, I fully agree with those goals. Personally, and I've spent my life working to help resolve issues between Russia and the U.S. and to bring the countries closer together. But that's a long-term process. It has to be based on reality and on a recognition of our different values. And that's what Eurasia Advisors is about as well. And every president, I think, and certainly since the Cold War, has been trying to achieve that too. But I never heard anything articulated by this current president in terms of what his goals actually were in the summit, other than saying he wanted to have low expectations. I think his goals were achieved, which was to have a one-on-one communication with his co-conspirator regarding what took place during the election and to figure out how to handle things now in a manner that helps Trump protect himself.
Give us some idea of the actual strength and weaknesses of the Russian economy.
Look, the basic Russian economy is that of an oil and gas state. It has other natural resources, but the best way to think of it is that although it tries to expand into other areas, including high-tech industries, it doesn't have the infrastructure legally and culturally to allow people to safely invest and develop businesses. So it really is run more like what I would call either a medieval empire or a mafia state, where certain assets of the state are controlled by cliques, and those who cooperate with them do well, and the rest are either eliminated in some fashion, or they are basically invited to leave the country or allowed to leave the country.
So, Richard, I want to go back to something you said, that President Trump was meeting with his, quote, co-conspirator with respect to what happened during the Russian election. Obviously, this has not been proven yet. This is very much what Robert Mueller is investigating. So we don't know that for a fact in any way. But I do want to get to something, which is the broader political implication of this, where you have a hardening of people who are anti the president, who are trying to say, look, this just shows that he's not fit for office. And then you have his supporters coming out and saying, look, he's trying to create peace. You don't have anything on him yet. At some point, this will come to a head. The sides are getting increasingly angry and agitated, and I'm trying to figure out, what's the risk that we have some kind of denouement that is somewhat damaging on many levels here?
Well, look, first, I make that statement regarding co-conspiracy because I think, one, we saw some of that playing out in the summit itself. I also think there is plenty of evidence of that in emails and other communications that took place during the campaign, as well as in the indictments that we've seen. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for Trump and his supporters to contend that he was not at the very least aware and receiving support in conjunction with the campaign and cooperating with that. But look, of course, we're going to wait for the Mueller indictments to come down. And we'll see how all those play out and what all the details are. But I've certainly seen enough and have lived a life involved with Russia to know what this is about at this stage. And I see the conduct of our president in giving up critical U.S. positions and also undermining our country and our alliances, all serving, as I see it, the interests only of Russia in this. So where does this play out? Look, there will always be people who will pay attention only to the tweets from this president and will take his side. The Russians are also very effective at building additional support, whether it's through the NRA, religious organizations, other groups, to support this president. I am very concerned that at the end of the day, regardless of what happens, he is going to take things right to the line in terms of undermining our institutions, as long as he doesn't cross over it to the point where he's obviously acting in a traitorous fashion. That's what happened at the summit, where he was pushing and pushing, trying to appease and please the Russians and protect himself by doing that. But he got the backlash and realized that, boy, I've gone over the line now, and my base is starting to see who I really am, what I'm really about. So I think at the end of the day, we will probably find ourselves in a position where we have strong indictments coming down, and we're at that point going to face, I think, some real issues about the strength of our institutions in dealing with a president who I do not think will hold back in doing anything he possibly can to maintain power.
Do you have any comments on the idea that the Germans are held captive by the new pipeline, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that would bring natural gas to Germany from Russia that the president alluded to?
I do have a view on that. In my experience, Angela Merkel and her team have integrity and ethics, and I think that they understand that although they have to have dealings with Russia, that that does not mean that they need to give up their ethical framework in terms of how they deal with Russia. Having said that, I understand that certainly the creating alternatives to the pipeline, you know, might be a good idea in terms of diminishing Russia's influence. But that's just, again, more of a business type of issue. I'm not worried about the German leadership becoming like our current leadership.
Richard, 30 seconds. Russia's hoard of U.S. treasuries plummeted in 2 months, ended in the end of May. Do you know why?
I wouldn't say that I know why. I have my suspicions why. I think that there is concern that there's going to be a greater round of sanctions against Russia. I think that there's a point at which Putin and Trump and those around Trump are overplaying their hand, and they have to expect a backlash. And we saw some of that backlash after the summit.
Richard Kahn. We could go on for hours. Richard Kahn, managing partner of Eurasia Advisors, joining us on the fallout from the Russia-U.S. summit by President Trump and President Vladimir Putin.